My brothers and sisters in the Lord, as we begin our Lenten journey, it's very common for us to give up something for Lent. Oftentimes, it's chocolate or candy or ice cream or dessert or other things that we find pleasurable in life. There's a story of a man who had 5 children. And the children gave up their normal things for Lent: cookies, candy, etc. But at the beginning of the season, the father challenged his 5 children. And he said, "I want you to also give up something that's a vice in your life. Something that you want to overcome, so that you may be a more faithful disciple of Jesus." And so all the children chose something, and his youngest son was about 6 years old at the time, and he decided that he was going to give up for Lent beating up on his brothers and sisters. That was going to be his sacrifice. And so about halfway through the season, the father asked his children how they were doing. And each of them responded, and he got to his youngest son. And his youngest son said to him, "Well, Dad, I'm doing very well, but it's really, really hard, and I can't wait till Easter comes." Oftentimes, my friends, we are the same way. Sacrifice is hard, and there's the temptation to give in. And we too say we can't wait till Easter. I'll give you an example. Today is Valentine's Day. For you husbands that didn't know that, hint, hint, hint. Today is Valentine's Day. And let's say that you gave up chocolate candy for Valentine's Day, or for all of Lent. That was your sacrifice. You gave up chocolate. And so your sweetie, your husband, your boyfriend, your fiance, whoever it may be, your sweetie comes in with this big box of chocolate today. Put you in a little quandary there. What decision do you make? Do you choose God, or do you choose your sweetie? Do you choose to remain faithful to the promise you made to God and remain faithful because of your own willpower and self-mastery to that promise? Or do you give in to the power of the temptation over you? You see, my brothers and sisters, temptations can be very strong in our lives. And temptations are often very difficult to fight. But by the grace of God, you and I are able to remain faithful to the Word of God, to the commandments of God, so that we may inherit the promises of God. I love this little analogy. Sometimes when I have friends that come in from out of town, a lot of times they want to go fishing. You know, Louisiana is sportsman's paradise. And those of you who know Father Cooper know I don't know anything about fishing. So I usually take them on a chartered experience. Best way to go. And so I remember one time, this happened a few years back, and we were on a chartered boat, and the captain, the head fisherman, the instructor there at the time, was giving a brief instruction to all of us there. And this is what he said: if you want to catch a fish, you have to think like a fish. And so I'm thinking to myself, well, how does a fish think? And this is what he said. He said, a fish wants to maximize the gratification of his appetite with the minimal expenditure of energy. Interesting. The maximum gratification of appetite with the minimal expenditure of energy. Translation, see a worm, want a worm, eat a worm. That's how a fish thinks. The fish doesn't sit there in the water and think about their long-term goals in life. The girl fish doesn't say to the boy fish, I don't think you love me anymore, you just want me for my body. It doesn't happen. The fish is a collection of instinct. It's like a moving stomach. See a worm, want a worm, eat a worm. And so what happens? The worm goes in the water, or whatever the bait may be. And the fish doesn't think about what's behind the worm, or what's around the worm, because if the fish took a moment to look and to think, it would see that there is a hook attached to the worm. The worm is a lure, but because it acts by instinct, it goes after that bait, it goes after that lure, and once it's hooked, the enemy's got it. And who's the enemy? It's the fisherman. And you think the fish would learn. You know all the fish friends sitting there in the water, and all of a sudden one of their friends goes after a worm and whoosh, disappears into outer space and never returns. But they don't learn. The next one goes after the lure. My brothers and sisters, that is temptation. The devil has the bait before us, whatever the bait may be in our life, whatever that worm is, and it's attached to a hook. And when we give in to the lure, then we're hooked, and the devil has us. You see, my friends, the call of the gospel this day, on this first Sunday of Lent, is fighting against temptation. And temptation comes in many shapes and sizes and can have many different forms and look so good to us on the outside until we're hooked. And then we're fighting against it. In the gospel today, Jesus speaks to us about how you and I can defeat temptation, how we can defeat the devil, how we can push Satan out of our lives. Jesus, right after his baptism in the River Jordan, goes into the desert 40 days and 40 nights before beginning his public ministry. And how does the gospel begin? It says that Jesus was hungry. Now, if you didn't eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights, I think you would be a little hungry too. And so that's the first temptation that Satan uses. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. You see, the first temptation is the temptation to always give into our physical wants. To always give into the physical things and not think about the spiritual. And how does Jesus respond? He responds by quoting Moses from the book of Deuteronomy 8:3. It is written, one does not live on bread alone. Remember what happens in the book of Deuteronomy. The Israelites are going around and around in the desert for 40 years, journeying to the promised land. And as they're going round and around in the desert, they're complaining against Moses and against God because they're hungry. And Moses should have left them back there in Egypt in slavery because they had enough to eat. But what happens? God provides for their needs. He sends manna down from heaven to feed them. But there's a catch. And the catch is this. They're only permitted to collect enough manna for that day's meal. No leftovers, no takeouty. If they take too much with them for the next day or for all week, it's going to spoil. It's going to turn into maggots. Because God wanted the people of Israel to trust him, that he was going to provide for their needs each and every day. And that's how we fight against that first temptation to give in to all our physical wants, is being able to trust God, that God is going to provide, and not go the way of the world or give in to every desire that we have that thinks going to anesthetize us and make us happy. The second temptation, Satan takes Jesus and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said to him, I shall give you all power and glory, for it has been handed over to me. All of this will be yours if you worship me. The temptation here is the temptation for personal power, personal glory, personal honor. It's pride. It's the ego. You can have all these things if you worship me. And how does Jesus respond? You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Taken from chapter 6 of the book of Deuteronomy. Because what was happening then? The people were about to inherit the promised land. And Moses was saying to them in chapter 6 of the book of Deuteronomy, remember, it's not you, and it's not all about you. And man is not the measure of all things. And you don't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's all by the grace of God who has provided this for you. This is what Moses says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your father, that he would give you, a land with fine large cities you did not build, with houses full of goods of all sorts that you did not garner, with cisterns that you did not dig, with vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when therefore you eat your fill, take care not to forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You see, my friends, in the temptation for personal power and glory, it's easy to forget God. We can do it on our own. It's all about me. The Hebrew people were fighting against many different gods from the pagan world, whether it be of clay or stone. And certainly, my friends, in our own society, we have many different gods. The God of power, the God of control, the God of sex, the God of position, the God of social status, and the list could go on and on. Who do we serve? Do we serve the Lord? And if we do, do we remember that all that we have and all that we are is a gift from God? And then the third temptation. He led him to Jerusalem, to the top of the temple, the parapet. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for the angels will catch you. What was this temptation about? Satan was tempting Jesus to take the easy way out. Don't go to the cross. Throw yourself from the temple. Let the people see the angels catch you. Then they'll know you're the Son of God. Satan even quotes scripture about the angels. That's taken from the Psalms. And how does Jesus respond? You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus remained faithful to the will of his Father. The Father and I am one. And in remaining faithful, my brothers and sisters, as we remember, Jesus says in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. Sometimes we're tempted to take the easy way out, to try to avoid the cross. But the life of a disciple is the life of the way of the cross. As Jesus says so many times in the gospel, pick up your cross and follow me. You see, my brothers and sisters, on this first Sunday of Lent, as we begin our Lenten pilgrimage, what are the temptations in your life and mine? What are the things that we need to fight against, that we need to struggle against? So so that we can be the disciple, the witness, the ambassador that God desires us to be, a light to the world, in our families, workplaces, in our school, wherever we may be. As St. Paul said to the church in Rome, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In the end, my friends, that's how we fight temptation, is by calling on the name of Jesus and trusting in the power of that name. Because no man on earth and no devil in hell will ever stop what God has planned for you and for me. But we have to cooperate. We have to resist Satan's lure, lest we become like the fish. Hopefully, my brothers and sisters, we're smarter than a fish. But sometimes we eat the bait. We take the lure. We get stuck on Satan's hook. And he's trying to pull us away from our God.